Now, so this phase two of our show. Now we're going to talk about the Bribe Forum sessions. I didn't discuss this ahead of time. I don't know if you're like taking off now, Harry.
No, you, I can hang out
if you want to hang out. I'll hang out. Go for it. Yeah. Yeah. So you can be the peanut gallery.
The extra commentary.
So okay, I don't know. We should roll right into this, Gabe. Right? Is there anything else we need to?
I would say so. You know, we're not really a professional show here, so what the hell? Let's just no production. Let's just go right into it.
Okay. So, and I guess so. This year, so Kevin Goodman was visiting last week, and he visited me and Benny. Trish was here, and we kind of hung out for the weekend. And Kevin was here during the time we were picking the Bribe Forum sessions, and it was cool because since he quit VMware. He's now an impartial, independent person. So we're like, great, you can join our jury and be part of this. And Kevin was actually, I think if I can speak on his behalf, was sort of...
blown away?
I don't want to say, yeah, like he was shocked that there's actually a lot of work that went into it. And it wasn't just we're looking at our friends and all this kind of stuff. Because we took tons of pictures of how we do the process. You know, we do the Gabe and I both vote yes, no, maybe. We combine those lists together. We legitimately don't look at who the speakers are ahead of time. We look at just titles and descriptions, and we scrub them so there's any references to speakers that are removed. We put all the ones. I actually printed them out on paper and had them all on the conference room table and was kind of sorting them around and grouping them and trying to really figure out to the people in the chat room. Yes, Kevin has left VMware. I think 2 weeks ago he was a guest on the show. Or maybe 3 weeks ago, so you can hear the details there. We were looking at survey data because we asked the audience to give their opinions on what they like. We looked at speaker data from last year. We looked at all sorts of things. And we now have our list. Incidentally, so this is for Bribe Forum London, which is May, I want to say 24th and 25th?
23rd and 24th.
23rd and 24th. So the sessions we're looking at right now are the sessions for London in May. We will announce the sessions for Chicago literally the week after London. So you're welcome to submit sessions now. Actually, I don't even know if we have the website open.
No, it's not open yet. We're still a ways out there. So we're looking at mid-April before we open up call for papers for that.
Okay, yeah. And the idea, by the way, so if you weren't accepted to London, then we will, you can resubmit for Chicago. And most of the sessions, some of them we had to get rid of right off the bat.
Even if you were accepted in London, you still have to resubmit for Chicago.
Right, yeah.
If you submitted, you have to submit again.
And so when will the Bribe Forum 2011 videos be posted up here? They were posted like 6 months ago. So go to brianmadden.com/videos and you see them all there. And we actually post some of them every day. Onto the homepage too to highlight. We pick a different one sort of to highlight. And let's see. So I don't know how to go through this. Like we should. Gabe, I printed out the list that was based on a spreadsheet in Dropbox. I don't know if this is the same order. My order, the one I have, starts with Tim Mangan.
Tim. Yep, that works for me.
So how do? So
this is the one from Dropbox. So it's the same one I have. So So I guess what the hell, right? First session is Tim Mangan's. The top 13 ways Microsoft uses caching to improve performance. And we should pull up the results of that survey that we did of all the people. Once we knew what the sessions were, we put them into a survey and let the community vote to get an idea that helped us decide when some sessions were on the bubble and things like that. And this is one of those sessions, I think, that was through the roof. Yes, we have to have this. We picked it anyway. But then when we went back and looked at the survey, we're like, holy shit. Yeah, we got to keep this session. People are excited about this one.
Yeah, and this is a good one that has a lot of takeaway value. And I didn't even know. I had dinner with Tim and his wife and his son. Tim's son, by the way, I think his name is Patrick. He's now sequencing applications for hire also. So I had dinner with them last week and when I was in Boston, and they he said this was going to be. I think his session started like the five ways that Microsoft uses caching to improve performance. And this is just like internal Windows stuff, like the way it caches memory and calls and all sorts of things. So that's that's our first session. Next one is Brandon Schell with his session on PowerShell, Notes from the Field. And I don't remember I think
this is a bit of an update because Brandon normally we normally accept his introduction to PowerShell, that kind of a thing, and what we learned also from this community survey was that people pretty much PowerShell is just part of the everyday life now, and so for you and I, we don't ever use it, so we're like, yeah, okay, anything new I can learn about it, great. But so for a lot of people, PowerShell is just part of their everyday life, and so if they need to learn something about PowerShell from the introductory level, they can just go back to the 2011 videos and watch it for free. So we're stepping it up a bit, and we accepted the PowerShell notes from the field session just so that we can take a deeper look about how to use PowerShell to manage server-based computing environments.
The next session is, the title is 10 Ways My Users Said F-U-I-T.
I think I put 11 whys, yeses.
Yes. Well, some accuse this presenter of pandering because it was kind of foo it in the title. But this is by David Stafford, who is at VMware, and the policies for people who work at vendors this year are the same they always have been, which people who work at vendors are more than welcome to submit. They just can't submit about their actual topic. So like Dave Stafford could not submit on like why Vue is awesome. But this 10 ways my user said foo it, he's actually going through like his experience. And he was at Cisco for years before he joined VMware, I don't know, a year or two ago. I met him actually. So Dave Stafford, I met him for the first time in person in New York City. We were doing some customer dinner. And he was sort of the VMware speaker. And I listened to him talk, and he gave his presentation, and I agreed with like 90% of it. And for me, watching something that VMware says, the same as for Citrix, frankly, also, that's very high. So I was like, wow, this guy's got it. I mean, I liked what he said a lot. And so I had dinner with him, and it was cool to meet him, and we were talking about Briform and stuff like that. But this session actually is, I think this is a good eye-opening thing for people who are like maybe in denial about the FUIT thing. Like this is just a list of war stories of like things that users have done to get around the policies that their IT people have put in place, which is kind of fun.
You're going to leave this next one to me, aren't you? So here's one of the ones that I believe is he's Swedish, and I don't know how to say his name. I'm going to go with Nick Callen. I'm sure that's 100% wrong. But this session is the ultimate at v 4.x deployment. And what was cool about this one to us was that this is about how to set up at v in your environment to kind of organize an application virtualization solution for your organization. So this is how to set up the infrastructure, how to deploy the clients, intro to sequencing, that kind of a thing. So entry level, how to get on the at v train. And which we'll follow up later with another one that's a little bit deeper.
And then the next one, incidentally, the agenda will be posted soon. Gabe, have you worked? This is one of Gabe's.
I made the agenda. The agenda should be posted very shortly onto Briform.com. I can also post it. I'll put at least a session list on BrianMadden.com here in the next 24 hours.
Okay, so the next session, and I've lost my screen, Justin, if you don't mind real quick. This little chat window, you have to touch it every 25 minutes or else it goes away. So next one is about HTML5, the new application platform. And this is an interesting session. So this session is by
Dan Shapir, right?
Dan Shapir, and he works at Ericom. And a lot of you know Dan Shapir as a guy who always comments in our – he doesn't do it so much anymore, but he used to comment a lot on BrianMadden.com, and we feel like he was always a shill. He was always the guy who's like, with Ericom you can do this, or with Ericom you can do that. And like we felt like every time he was talking, he was selling us something. So the reason though why we accepted the session again is because Ericom makes an HTML5 RDP client, and we talked about that earlier. But what Dan's session is about is not about the RDP clients in HTML5. It's about if you actually develop applications. Like there's all this talk about, hey, are HTML5 apps going to replace Windows apps and is at the new platform. So he's looking at, if you're an application developer, sort of what's the difference between an HTML5 app and like a native Windows app or a platform native, you know, iOS app or whatever. So what can they do? What can't they do? Where they work, when they don't work? And that's going to be, like, this is a session that personally I'm interested in because I'm not a developer. And he's not doing this for developers. He's doing it for SEs like me who are like, we read these things from real developers and they're like, oh, HTML5 is going to replace the world. And is that true? I don't know. So he's got the experience as an HTML5 developer, having built that client, but it's not about their client. It's about HTML5 in general and what that means for developers. So I think that's going to be pretty cool.
I like somebody called me for saying I made the agenda, like I'm Al Gore saying I invented the internet. but I literally
but this is actually true though.
The Word document that has the sessions on it in some order. So
do you know?
I'm calling that.
You know. We always joke about how, like, Brian, like, I am the guy who's, like, on stage waving his arms like an idiot, and Gabe's the guy at home doing the actual work. And this is another instance of why that is true, where every year, I think almost, like, since, I don't know, for the probably past 6, 7, 8 Bri forums, like, some poor son of a bitch has to actually look at all the agenda, look at the sessions, look at these speakers can't be here on these days. This guy wants to speak before lunch. This guy wants here. This guy's leaving. We got to have two sessions and not compete against each other. We want to have mixing so we've got different levels. We don't want to make it so one speaker has all their sessions in the same day. All that kind of stuff. That giant juggling game is one of Gabe's thousand thankless jobs at our company.
Gabe, did you use a whole bunch of little sheets of paper with all the sessions written on them?
No, I used to. There's a photo, actually, of me sitting there with a bottle of, I don't know, it was at Brian's bar in D.C., his basement, with a bottle of liquor and looking pretty ragged after being up all night trying to create the agenda. Now I just throw shit out there, and if it doesn't work, we figure that out later. But but we've got it simplified, but I have lost a lot of hair since 2007. So, but it's a real process for sure, but it's... it's fine. It's just one of those things. It has to be done. So up next is the follow-up to the add-on to that other AppV1 that sets up your AppV environment. Is this one's from Kevin Kaminsky, who is from Calgary. And this is called Advanced Sequencing with AppV. And so this is Kevin's bread and butter. Like every time I've seen this guy, he's at the Microsoft Management Summit. I see him with Tim Mangan, and obviously Tim's a big AppV guy. So So Kevin is the dude to give you advanced sequencing information for AppV. And so we're gonna kind of set it up with the ultimate AppV deployment, and then we'll knock it down with advanced sequencing.
And then the next one is a session that
so excited for this one.
Yeah, we really didn't want to accept this session, but we had to, which is from a friend of the show, Nathan Cotino. And his session is Demystifying Microsoft Licensing for Client Virtualization Environments. And I think Nathan...
Jack, what's the background for this one? Because Jack is the one that...
This is the one... I think I told this story a while ago. I had emailed him to clarify a few questions. I thought it'd be a short email, but little do we know. I'd emailed him to clarify a few questions about VDA and BYOD. And then that turned into a phone call. And then later that night, he sends me another email, and he's like, there's so much more that I found. We need to talk more about this tomorrow. And then like 11 o'clock at night, so we're talking like 1 a.m. his time, I get one last email, and he's like, this stuff is so crazy. Can I still submit a Bri Forum session?
Well, and another piece of background is during this whole OnLive debacle with the license at Microsoft going after them, someone contacted me, saying that they believed that that if you have OEM licenses, you can actually provide VDIs of service with Windows 7, because the OEM license agreement, when you break that seal with new hardware, it says something along the lines of, this license agreement is the ultimate license agreement, and all the other bundled software, your license agreement is with us on these terms, not with whatever that vendor may say the license is. And this person felt that OEM licenses could be used to provide Windows 7 access as a service. And this person sent me an analysis of they ultimately did not end up acting on this, but an analysis with their working with lawyers and what they feel like might be true. And I sent that also to Nathan, just kind of asking him what he thought, and he said essentially also that, well, you know, Microsoft was really caught off guard with the language once virtualization in general came into play, and he wouldn't be surprised if this was the case, that there was loopholes there. So this licensing thing, man,
he wouldn't have been surprised if there were loopholes before, but those have been tightened up now with Windows 7.
Okay. Yeah. And interestingly, though, it's weird that we like to think that Briform, we talk about a lot of cutting edge technologies and cutting edge topics. And it's interesting that licensing would be one of those, like that something humans invented, like lawyers, and we're having very cutting edge licensing topics at Briform. But Nathan's is always one of the most popular sessions, and I expect we'll be again this year.
We like cutting edge, but we also like to bitch. So, you know, that's we're fulfilling the other need at this point. Up next is this is a staple now, right? But they keep diving deeper into it each year. This is Benny Trish and Sean Bass with their remoting multimedia and interactive graphics applications. This is Remote Effects, HDX, PC over IP. This is Sean and Benny put these things to the test years ago. They came up with a chart that rated each one of them in given situations, and so they're taking that one step further and looking, I believe, at I can't remember. Now I have to read this thing. Do you remember what it is, Brian?
What do you mean what they're looking at? RDP Remote Effects, HDX, Teradici.
Now, phase three was going to dive in a little bit deeper to something else, but now I lost my screen here.
Audio, video, and high-end graphics is what their focus is for this time around. And speaking of bitching, all the...
Right, before it was just overall experience, and so now they're diving into very specific areas. That's what it was.
Yeah. And we know their session's good because all the vendors complain about how unfair their tests are. And it's funny how... but they hear that from everyone, so we like that. Incidentally, speaking of vendors, so Thomas Poppelgaard's asking about why isn't Citrix a sponsor of Briform anymore? Well, Citrix was there last year, and I don't know if they're a sponsor this year or not. You know, now that Gabe and I work...
This is the best part of... Yeah.
Yeah, we have nothing to do with sponsorship. So TechTarget, we're like 650 employees. We have, I don't know, like 100 sales reps or something, and they go out and sell Briform sponsorships. One thing I will say is I get an internal email like weekly that kind of shows all the sponsors of Briform. Like we got these ones are in a gold, these are in a silver, platinum, whatever. And there's a lot more on that list than are actually on the Briform website, because once they sign the contract, then we have to collect the deliverables from them, and that process just, you know, who knows how long that takes for it to happen. So I don't know whether Citrix is a sponsor this year or not. I know they were as recently as last year. They were at both of them. But for all these companies now, you know, not my job. So the sponsors of Briform, when I walk the floor at Briform, that's when I go, oh, you're here. Oh, hey, cool. Oh, hey. And that's I walk in just like everyone else does and find out who the sponsors are. So my job with Briform is to work out the content and the overall sort of direction of the event. But all those logistical details are done by other people, which is awesome. Okay, so our next session, also from Benny Trich, is exploring the secrets of RemoteFX. And this is one of the ones that I can definitely thank Kevin and Twitter for, because Benny's basically is talking about, you know, RemoteFX. So what's the difference between RDP and RemoteFX, especially in Windows 8 when, like, did they just change the name? So now everything is being called RemoteFX. So it's kind of digging into RemoteFX and Windows 8 RemoteFX and remoting and what that was all going to be like. We got the same session submission from a guy at Microsoft, the same guy, I forget his name right now, who did the session at Build on announcing all the new features of RemoteFX and Windows 8. And so at first I was going to accept that session from him because I thought, well, you know, he's the guy that wrote it. That's cool. But then we got the same session from Benny, and I'm like, oh, we don't need both of these. And then Kevin's like, well, why are you accepting the Microsoft session? Like, isn't that guy breaking the rules? And I was like, well, yeah, I guess I never thought of that. Microsoft, in the past, we've given an exception to because they were Microsoft, so it's all about Windows. And so, like, they apply to everyone equally. But in this case, RemoteFX, they're competing against these other people. And yeah, like that was a good point that Kevin kind of pointed out. And frankly, we asked Twitter, by the way, like, okay, who should present, Microsoft guy or Benny? And the answer was like
overwhelmingly
100
Benny.
To 0, Benny.
Yeah. So, I think a Microsoft guy said Microsoft. But
so that's cool. So Benny will talk about RemoteFX. All right, next up.
The aforementioned mentioned Kevin Goodman. I'm super excited about this one, too. And this one, based on the title, this one I knew who it was when I was going through this, even though I had hidden the author or the presenter column. And the title of this is What 2 Years of Living in the Trenches Has Taught Kevin Goodman About VDI. And I think in the abstract, this wasn't in there, but I think in some other field in the survey that he filled out, he wrapped up the session by saying, what to consider before embarking on a VDI death march. And so this session is basically what Kevin hates about VDI, having been dealing with VDI and kind of living in the belly of the beast for the last few years.
Yeah.
Come on. This is Kevin, too. It's so frank. Like, it's going to be such an honest conversation. Kevin is nothing if not candid. So.
But he's also good about tying it back to real stuff. So we don't want to have a 75-minute bitch fest because we don't need him for that. We're quite capable of that on our own. Thank you.
We often call Kevin when we need a reality check.
Well, yeah. And so. This is, man, Kevin not working in a vendor. I love that, Kevin. and so I don't know how long we're going to have him for in that capacity. But because, you know, we got that book coming out. He read our book because we were talking about it. And he's like, yeah, you know, I got time now. Send it over. So
just hired to sit at home and wait for our call.
Well, this is now the second company he's like sold and retired from. So I don't know how long we'll get him to last this time. But I'm looking forward to what he's writing about. All right. So next session is going to be from Vincent Branger, the French Citrix independent consultant, and his session is going to be about WAN acceleration. In his submission, actually, I don't know if I emailed him. So, Vincent, if you're listening, take notes. The title is called Branch Repeater and Other WAN Accelerators for Desktop Virtualization. And we want this session, but we don't want it to be focused on Branch Repeater. Branch Repeater, of course, is Citrix's WAN accelerator. So we want to focus it on WAN acceleration in general, where it works, where it doesn't work, maybe get into some details of how these different things compare to each other. And in his description, he talked about Silver Peak.
He talked about Silver Peak, yeah, Riverbed.
And, yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. So, but we'll make sure that this is a WAN acceleration session in general as opposed to one that's specifically focused on the Citrix products.
Also from Vincent is the security and client hypervisors session, which, this is something that normally we'd have from Torsten Root, but Torsten is I believe sometime in May is what they were told his next child will be due. And so, you know, here in the U.S., we specify you will have this baby on this day. And in other countries, they're just like, yeah, second half of May.
That really
like
feels
that.
Like Torsten would be the kind of person, though. They'd be like, the baby will be born at 12, 14.
It's yeah. Opposite, right? Yeah. So Vincent is going to do security and client hypervisors for us. And really, this is about Zen Client XT, Next Top, really the top client hypervisor in the space, and what kind of different security levels we can get with that using different hardware, different what security we can get with the hardware, with the hypervisor, the storage, all of this, and all the different places where we can secure client hypervisors.
All right, so the next one is from Mike Nelson. It's Going Beyond Templates and Clones. And this is take two of the session. He gave a session that was similar to this at Brian from 2011 in Chicago. And he's just completely redone the session with all the latest technologies. So it's basically about automating your OS deployments. So, you know, the whole, like, how do you create the perfect, you know, quote unquote, golden image, all the different versions of Windows, the hardware, the templates, can you apply the same images to physical and virtual, looking into the free software like Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, mm-hmm. automated installation kits. And he says it's 10% slides and 90% demo. And I believe this is one of the highest rated sessions at Brightform last year, if I recall as well.
Yeah, yeah, and something that's exciting for us, just because, you know, it's not just about VDI, it's about traditional as well, but really because everybody wants to get to that kind of golden image. It's just, it's hard to do, and that's why people go to VDI, but there's other ways to do it too. So another Frenchman, Pierre Marmignon, is going to present Stop Talking About Desktop Transformation, Talk About the Users and Use Cases. And if I'm not mistaken, Sean Bass is also a co-presenter on this one. And so this is, this is something that we've been talking about for a while now. This is, everybody's focusing on VDI, and talking about, you know, we have to get the best user experience and all of this stuff, but nobody's really like, we forget that the users are king, and they don't really need the whole desktop. They just need applications, and they just need very specific things. And so it's more time to, this session is going to be about putting together what your actual needs are and then using that to deliver or put together the right solution.
It's kind of falls in what we talked about with Harry earlier today.
Yeah, exactly.
So hopefully this is I'm looking forward to that. And by the way, and the fact that this came from Pierre. Pierre's spoken at Brainform in the past. He's an independent consultant as well. So when I first read a session moving beyond desktop transformation, I'm like, okay, this is some vendor bullshit. But the fact it comes from him, and it's moving beyond desktop transformation. It's not why we need desktop transformation. It's just like, man, cut the shit. What do we actually need to do, and how do we make that happen? So I like
this
that
is
a lot.
One of the. This happens a lot too, where you're like, all right, I guess I'll accept this session, and you unhide the presenter category, and you're like, oh, thank God.
And we do, by the way, where we hide the presenter, that's just the first pass. And once we go through that first pass, and then Gabe and I start to reconcile our lists, then we show the presenter, we look at feedback from last year, we look at the audience feedback from the survey, we sort of pull all that in to make the ultimate go and no go decision.
We should unhide that column on the reveal show. So we've accepted all these sessions and we don't know who the authors are.
Well, you know, I actually
we're learning right along with you, people.
I thought a little bit about about video recording the actual conversation we had where we're negotiating back and forth about which sessions are going in and which ones aren't. The problem is that's like an 8-hour process, first of all.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of swear words. And probably there's, you know, I know you should never say anything that you don't want printed on the front page of the newspaper, but that would not be a good thing to record. But we try to keep it, we try to have good diversity. We try to balance out speakers who were popular in the past, as well as bringing in new faces. And I think we did that for this year. So next we've got Ian Parker, and his session is server performance troubleshooting and benchmarking. So a quick and easy way. And basically it's this is sort of good hardcore, like this is like the roots of Brainform, you know, hardcore technical sessions. He talks about how a lot of organizations are not able to invest all the time and money into benchmarking. And if you have poor benchmarking, then your analysis, it can, do you think it's bad hardware now, or do you think you just don't know what you're doing? And there's tools, how to use these, and just how do you get a hands, how do you wrap your head around what you can do to actually analyze your server performance and benchmark that and kind of figure out how your environment stacks up towards what it should be able to stack up to.
Up next is a new one, right? A newcomer to Brainform, Dan Brinkman. I don't even know Dan. Well,
he was,
I guess
a lightning
Dan was,
session last
Dan
year.
Dan presented in a lightning session last year. Yeah. So we're giving him a full session this time. So Dan is he's going to present. This is another one that we had. Yes. is how to fail at VDI, a step-by-step guide. And so he's going to take it tongue in cheek, but we know Dan, and it'll still be a very serious approach to talking about the ways that VDI projects fail. And this is something that Brian and I have talked about. We've done webcasts and podcasts and all sorts of different, you know, presentations about the ways that VDI projects fail. We talked about how Tim's list grew from 4 to 13 for the ways that Windows uses caching. This list for us started, I think, at 7 and has now grown to something
22, 23.
Along like 24, 25. Yeah. So Dan submitted this, though, on his own. And it's funny because all the reasons are the same. Like, not what, you know, the VDI fails because you started this whole thing without knowing why the hell you were doing it in the first place, or assuming you were going to save money, or you know, because the hardware vendor just told you that you need to, that you can do this, and so there's so many other reasons that the VDI projects fail, and Dan's going to take a look at those, which, I mean, if nothing else, it'll be entertaining.
All right, next session is another one from Tim Mangan, and it's called "And Then There Was Power." It's the story of the Windows 7 boot. And I talked to him about this also when I had dinner. So he's just really – he says, you know, the Windows 7 operating system is a tremendous beast filled with magical tricks to improve or crush performance like a cheese sandwich under a dancing elephant. So he's walking through the process of the boots in significant detail, everything that happens, what it's read. And then specifically, I talked to him to make sure this was actually had real-world applicability and not just trivia. So, you know, what can you use, especially with VDI and spinning up demand instances and imaging and all that kind of stuff. So what you need to know about what happens, what you can do to affect this, how it's really working, how you can troubleshoot it. And I also confirmed with him that he'll focus on – he wrote Windows 7 in the proposal submission, but we want him to look at Windows 7 and Windows 8. And he's just started looking at Windows 8. He said a lot of it is very similar, but there's a few key changes. And so he'll do that session covering both of those.
Sorry, I scrolled down and was making edits.
Ruben is next.
All right. So And so this is one of three from Ruben. The first one here is an update from the one that we've had the past couple of years, and that's the VDI Smackdown 2012 and understanding the impact of storage in VDI. And so Ruben will go through. He talks about all the different mainstream VDI packages out there. And that's actually only about half the presentation because the storage aspect is something that Ruben spent so much time talking about, writing white papers and things like that. They've been posted on brianmadden.com. And so he's really going to get into what the impact of storage on VDI is. And, even if you've seen this thing before, it's been updated for each year that it's been given. So it should be a little fresh this year, too.
The next one from Ruben is called An Insider's Guide to Virtualization, a Virtual Reality Check. So this one is Ruben and Ruben Vandekamp. This is their project of VRC where they're looking at, they benchmark and publish their results of different virtualization platforms and just the performance. And they've presented this session the last few years. And every year they focus on a different area. So, of course, it's up to date with newest hardware, newest products, newest versions. This year they're going to look at specifically the best practices and performance impact on Windows 7, on Microsoft's Forefront antivirus, and then the best practices and performance impact of Server 8 and Server 8 Hyper-V and Server 8 RDS and VDI. So that's always a popular session, and we're looking forward to that.
And the last one from Ruben, and we didn't even ask him if we could do all three of the ones he accepted. But I mean, there was one year, I think it was 2008, Ruben submitted five sessions and we accepted them all. And he asked never to have five again. So in this case, we have three. So we have heeded his wishes. this one's titled, though, Demonstration Gone Wild, Windows 8 Sneak Preview. And the abstract for this is, in this freaking awesome demo, Ruben Sprout will show the latest developments in Windows Client 8 and desktop virtualization. So he's going to go into he's going to dig deeper into Windows 8 than maybe we all did when we threw up threw it into our VMware workstation or VMware Fusion. And so this is the typical Ruben approach. This guy doesn't do anything half-assed, so it'll be pretty awesome.
And his thing too, like when it's demo, he's not demoing. I mean, by the time Briform happens, Windows 8 was available to the world for 3 or 4 months. So he's not going through like, oh, here's Metro and look, you can touch it. But rather, he's looking at the whole infrastructure of that. So SC VMM 2012, Windows Server 8, Hyper-V on Server 8, the remote desktop virtualization hosts on Server 8. So it's really digging into all those back-end server components that we deal with for delivering desktops, not just ARM tablets with Metro.
And I'm going to cut you off before you get to the next one because we're not actually doing that one. It was another one that Sean Bassett submitted, but he's already got two. He's got enough. He has to be out of this one and submit it to Chicago. So we're not going to we will not announce that one. So there that actually leaves us with we've got some lightning round sessions to choose from that we have not selected yet. So if your name wasn't called, there's still a chance that we will call you. And we do have a couple of other sessions that we need to fill once we figure out the lightning rounds and all of that. So there's still a chance.
And so, okay, so here's the – right. Because we've got – like I haven't announced my session. Gabe has not announced his session. Jack, we haven't announced your session. We talked about your session though, Jack. Tell us what you're talking about.
It's going to be mobile device management related and mobile application management related. The original focus of like exclusively looking at the solutions that compare like BYOD solutions that allow for like a BYOD personal work separation. It's probably going to be broader than that because that actually is less of a big deal than I thought it would be.
The fact that like to allow people to have work and personal separate on the same device, but now it's into policy enforcement and you're talking mobile devices. So you're talking about iOS and Android and all that.
Yeah. And this can go into things like the hypervisors on the phones and things like that, too. It can be just, ways that people are managing the devices.
Yeah. Well, like, I thought the hypervisors on the phone would be a big story, but it turns out that it's not.
Because they're crazy.
And
we can get into why. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be like a 2 minute long like subsection.
Giggles.
Of laughing. Why that's insane.
Right.
So we had upwards of 80 sessions submitted. I think it was 78 or something like that. There was a lot of consumerization sessions that we turned down because it's still Bri form after all. And so this is still a desktop virtualization show. And so we've got the MDM from Jack. We've got the FUIT session from David Stafford. So we wanted to have a little bit of an element there because it sort of is in our space, but we didn't really want to turn Bryform into a consumerization conference. But if you'd be willing to travel to a consumerization conference, maybe we can start to put one of those together as well. But that's why you're not seeing a ton of consumerization though at this show, even though it seems like something we would do.
Well, and the stuff we're covering for consumerization also ties back specifically to what those of us who attend Bryform have to deal with. So, you mentioned BYOC is stuff we cover, BYOD, and how we deal with the fact most of us who are delivering desktops are also working with, how we work out with users who are doing their own things. We talk about the FUIT and that kind of stuff. So, I'm sure that my session will end up being a consumerization related session at some point. I did a session last year, which is sort of the consumerization of IT, where I outlined, as Kevin Goodman said, I created this dragon in the first 60 minutes of the session. And then in the last 15 minutes, I said, so does anyone know what we can do about this thing? and in the past year, I've been really
thinking. I think we have a lot more answers now.
We do. Yeah. So I think we'll look at that sort of thing. So Gabe mentioned we've got the lightning round sessions to work out, to announce those. Those are where we have four 15-minute sessions in one block. So they're topics that we thought were really cool topics, but we're like, I'm not listening to this for an hour and 15 minutes. And so there's a bunch of those that will.
We have to iron those out, and there's some logistical issues too with getting those set up, and there's actually a couple other slots too that we actually have a list of bubble sessions that we're going to have to go back through and scrutinize a little bit more to see if we want them to be lightning round or not lightning round or that kind of a thing. So we have a little bit more work to do, and then maybe in the next week, 10, 14 days.
Yeah, we'll make it real soon because this is happening. The conference is happening pretty fast, like 2 months and a week or so. But the thing is, we also have, I think, one or two slots remaining open so that when we announce the session list on the website, and if there's mass response of like, hey, idiots, why didn't you have this kind of session? And we're like, oh, yeah, we forgot about that. Right. So we left ourselves with like a safety slot of, I think, one or two sessions that we can backfill with. So that is that's it, I think, right, for Bryform.
Yeah, that's it for that. 40 minutes it took to announce all those, but this was fun. I like this better than doing the videos because we can talk a little bit back and forth about it. And last year we tried to do a video for this, and I think it was more effort than it was worth. But this podcast format for this, I like.
Well, we're on video right now too, so we can. Oh no.
Well, but it was a higher production video or production value kind of thing last year. If you remember, we had PowerPoint that we were screen recording, and it was much more complex than this.
Yeah.
I'm wearing a hoodie and a hat right now.
All right. Hey. Well, we. I think we're done. So to all of you who listened today, thank you for joining. Thank you all to those who submitted sessions. We'll be in touch with details around what happens next with Bryform, and we'll be in touch with the Lightning Round soon. Thanks to Harry for being our guest and for sticking around. Thank you, Gabe, Jack, et cetera, et cetera.
Actually, you know what? Harry, do you think we're missing anything? I forgot Harry was there. He's been so quiet.
I actually think the whole consumerization thing is more important than you know, hey, stupid, you missed it. That would be my comment, right? I think it's bigger than you think.
Yeah.
I think it's front and center of people's mind. They're trying to figure out how to deal with it in the context of work. And I think it's a worthy conversation because going back to what we talked about in terms of what does this mean for my job? Well, actually, if you could help people figure out how to deal with that problem, I think you add a lot of value.
Maybe that's a session you want to do.
That means I'm going to go to London, right? perhaps we should talk about that.
Chicago. You could do Chicago in July if you don't want to go to...
Yeah, perhaps we should think about that. And, I want to do it as an independent session if I do it.
Of course. Or this could be something like, I want to do something with consumerization on my session, so maybe I can consult with you, even if you don't go and present.
Yeah, I'm happy to help.
We can put our heads together over some beers.
Yeah. And if I'm there, if you just want me to come up and just kind of give you an alley-oop, and that's fine too.
Yeah. I have... been able to miss the alley-oop sometimes, but I'll go for it. So, well, great. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining today, and thank you all for listening, and we will speak to you all next week from San Francisco. Thanks.
Sounds good.